Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, September the 20th. This is Rod, and our other readers are Josephine, Joe, and Jane. Our editor this week is John. All are members of Team 2. This week's sponsor is Knox Cropper, LLP. They provide expertise across the full range of accountancy services, including taxation, VAT, audit and assurance, and governance and compliance. Based in Apsley, telephone 218 309, website www.knoxcropper.com. Many of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Burke Hempstead and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines. Hemel bus drivers go on strike over pay dispute. Mugger caught after copter chase, jailed for 9 years. Kings Langley Greenbelt Homes project gets the go-ahead. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Josephine. Bus strike looms. Arriva bus staff working out of the depot in Hemel Hempstead will walk out at the end of this month and in October over an insulting pay offer. Unison said more than 800 workers at depots in Buckinghamshire, Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire will walk out after the bus operator failed to make a decent pay offer. They are set to strike for 16 days, with buses from Hemel Hempstead affected. Unite General Secretary Sharon Graham said, "This is a dispute entirely of Arriva's own making, and it is now responsible for the chaos that will hit commuters in the home counties. It is completely unacceptable to offer such a derisory pay increase in the current economic climate while making billions in revenue. Our members have the full support of Unite in their dispute. Arriva has offered an increase of 65 pence per hour for bus drivers, a 3.82% rise. This would be backdated to January 1st, but the union says the increase is below the current rate of inflation. An Arriva spokesperson said, "Unite have voted to strike in Luton, Milton Keynes, Hemel Hempstead, Stevenage and Ware. We are disappointed by this news and remain committed to finding a resolution. We will keep our customers updated." The strikes are scheduled to take place from September 23rd to September 26th. They will also occur from October 1st to October 4th, from October 9th to the 12th, and from October 14th to October 17th. Unite Regional Officer Jeff Hodge said, "Our members do a stressful and skilled job. Our message to Arriva is stark. Make a pay offer that our members can accept or face the chaos of strikes across your network this autumn." Arriva runs its services to St Albans and Watford from the Hemel Hempstead depot. 4 active bus routes may be altered due to the strikes. Earlier this year, the company scrapped its service between Hemel Hempstead and Aylesbury due to what it described as low patronage.
Hello, this is Joe. Mugger jailed. A man who committed a series of muggings in the Hertfordshire area has been jailed for 9 years. Doriano dos Santos Farias was sent to jail last week, months after a helicopter was deployed to track him down in Hemel Hempstead. At St Albans Crown Court, Farias, 37, of no fixed abode, was found guilty of 3 counts of robbery, attempted robbery, theft and dangerous driving, plus 3 counts of possession of a dangerous weapon. He was also disqualified from driving for 7 years. His offences took place in February this year and targeted lone females. Elderly individuals were also robbed, the court heard. He took cards and cash from an elderly man and a woman on her own. After witnessing them using cash machines, he approached them at knife point in an underpass. Hertfordshire Constabulary arrested him after spotting a moped linked to the offences in Hemel Hempstead on March the 3rd. He attempted to drive away from the police on the moped and continued his attempted escape on foot. A helicopter was deployed and officers on foot continued their pursuit when the 37-year-old was identified as being in gardens within the town. He was arrested soon after police and they said a knife was found in the carrying compartment of his moped. Farias was held in custody until the hearing. Detective Constable Sarah Scanlon, who led the case, said these robberies were extremely frightening for the victims, with Dos Santos Faria Farias targeting mainly elderly people and lone females. His actions have had a lasting impact on them all.
Hello, this is Jane. Greenbelt Homes, a new residential development consisting of 150 homes in Kings Langley, has been given the go-ahead by local authority planners, despite the land on which it will be built having protected greenbelt status. Planners argued that the area between Kings Langley Secondary School and the A41 matched the government's grey belt criteria. The Labour government coined the term grey belt to refer to poor quality or already developed greenbelt land in a policy shift designed to help reach ambitious housing targets linked to a nationwide shortage of affordable homes. Developer, The Hill Group, said the homes would be a mix ranging from 1 to 5 bedroom properties and that half would meet the affordable criterion and that the project would feature green and community spaces. A spokesperson said, these include woodland walks, meadows and ponds that will provide wetland habitats. Children's play areas and a community orchard will encourage outdoor activity, while new walking and cycling routes lined with edible hedges will promote healthy and active lifestyles. The new properties will have air source heat pumps, electric charging points, plus other sustainable measures, the developer added.
Tribute to murdered son. A mother has paid tribute to her son a year after he died in what detectives described as an execution-style killing in Kings Langley. Mustafa Jatta, 30, died from gunshot wounds after being found by police in Railway Terrace shortly after midnight on September 17th last year. Hertfordshire police said they had arrested 19 people over the past year, and 15 of those were still people of interest in what they described as a very active investigation. In a statement released by the force, Jatta's mother said she, his brother and children are paying tribute to a man born with a great heart and sense of humour. From the moment he was born, Mustafa brought me so much joy, said his mother, whose name police did not release. We miss him so terribly. Rest in peace, dear. We love you. Officers are still seeking information about a red and black Ford Fiesta, which was seen in Further Fields, Abbots Langley, before the murder. 15 minutes after the shooting, 12:45 a.m., a white Volkswagen Golf used during the murder was reported as being set on fire in the same road. Detective Inspector Adam Bridges said, we've been making significant progress over the last few months, and this can be seen through the recent arrests made over the summer. There is still time to do the right thing and come forward if you have information.
Hemel Starlet's new show. A multi-talented young actress from Hemel Hempstead is one of the stars of the latest season of a popular American television series. Isla G, 14, can currently be seen on Paramount Plus in NCIS, Tony and Ziva. She appears in 8 episodes of the series, which is part of the long-running crime scene investigation umbrella. Isla, who plays the title character's daughter, already has 9 acting credits to her name in theatre productions and other shows from streaming powerhouses Netflix and Apple TV+. In an interview with Entertainment Tonight, Michael Weatherly, who plays Tony DiNozzo in Tony and Ziva, said Isla was 100% on the mark for the role. He added, "She's super smart and deadpan, and it all comes from a very grounded, beautiful place." The show sees the crime-solving couple head to Europe to escape danger when Tony's security firm comes under attack. In Europe, they must discover who is behind the attack. The series is billed as an action thriller, with the lead's complicated romantic history acting as a key plot point. Beyond acting in the West End and Hollywood, Isla is also a top artistic gymnast who has competed at the UK Championships and represented her country at the sport. She is also having flying lessons and harbours ambitions to become a pilot. Other major acting roles that Isla has taken include appearing in science fiction series Foundation, which streams on Apple TV+. She was also part of the ensemble appearing in Netflix's The Sandman Show, an adaptation of Neil Gaiman's graphic novels. And in Stephen Merchant's BBC comedy, The Outlaws, Isla was cast as the granddaughter of Oscar-winning actor Christopher Walken. Isla was Jason Statham's daughter in the action blockbuster A Working Man, which was released this year, and played the title role of Matilda in a Royal Shakespeare production of Roald Dahl's fantasy drama.
This Week in History. September the 20th, 1961, the first non-stop swim across the Channel and back was started by Argentinian Antonio Abortondo. He successfully completed the feat after 43 hours, 10 minutes. September the 21st, 1981, Belize, originally known as British Honduras, gained its independence. On this day last year, Daniel Dubois retained his IBF World Heavyweight title with a fifth-round knockout of British Anthony Joshua. September the 22nd, 1972, Idi Amin gave Uganda's 8,000 Asians 48 hours to leave the country. On September the 23rd, 1964, the first performance of Fiddler on the Roof took place in New York, with Zero Mostel singing If I Were a Rich Man. September the 24th, 1960, the first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Enterprise, was launched in Newport, Virginia. And on this day last year, a man who authorities say staked out Donald Trump for 12 hours on his golf course in Florida and wrote of his desire to kill him was indicted on charges that he attempted to assassinate a major presidential candidate.
Here are this week's obituaries. Rosemary Julia Truman sadly died on the 1st of September, aged 74 years. Julia will be known to many as head teacher of Tring School from 1996 to 2006, and then as a trustee of Heathland School in more recent years. Following a private family committal, a service of thanksgiving for Julia's life will be held at St Mary the Virgin, Ivanhoe, on Friday the 19th of September at 12 noon. All are welcome, family flowers only. Donations in memory may be made to the Church of St Mary Ivanhoe or to the Rennie Grove Hospice. Inquiries to Malcolm Jones and Metcalf, Tring, on 828394. Also, Ella Ginger, née Cullen, passed away peacefully on the 9th of September, aged 92 years. Her funeral is at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on the 2nd of October at 10:30 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers for the British Heart Foundation or Cancer Research. Inquiries to Malcolm Jones and Metcalf. May they both rest in peace.
School relocation delayed. The timeline to move an overcrowded special needs school in Abbots Langley to a new site has been pushed back by 2 years to 2028 by county authorities, a delay challenged by the councillors. Breakspear School, which is rated outstanding by Ofsted, was set to move to a new site in the Durrance Croxley Green next spring, thereby increasing its capacity from 97 pupils to 210. But Herts County Council pushed back its relocation timeline over groundworks uncovered. The presence and scale of significant chalk dissolution at the new site, which is said required further investigation. A council report stated officers have sought the professional opinion of consultants who estimate that to complete the required redesign works for this site mitigation would result in a targeted opening date of late summer 2028. Two Tory councillors demanded action over the pushback. Ralph Munser, councillor for Nebworth and Codicott, told his This Week's Council Education, SEN and Inclusion Committee that the delays were incredibly concerning, not least for the 113 families who would have benefited from those extra places. Councillor Paula Hiscox said the discovery of a chalk-related ground issue at the relocation site was not unusual. Chalk is a known and common geological feature across Three Rivers, she added. So I'm asking, why has this come as such a surprise to our planners and construction team? I cannot understand why a delay of over 2 years is needed. Breakspear's current site is totally outdated and overcrowded. We must act now and challenge this time frame vigorously. Kate Leahy, the council's head of school planning, described the delay as unfortunate and said officers were absolutely in agreement that we need to move forward. She referred to the Cabinet's agreement of extra capital funding for the project in July. In order that we can assure ourselves we are building on this site, which will be absolutely mitigating the chalk which has been found underneath the school site. As a county council, we absolutely have to assure ourselves that what we will be building will be safe and will be fit for purpose for those children.
Repair Cafe expansion. Berkhamsted's popular Repair Cafe is relaunching at a bigger venue next month, allowing it to extend the valuable service it offers the local area. The cafe, established in 2021 at Open Door Community Space, enables local residents to bring their broken belongings to be fixed free of charge. From 4th of October, it will be based at North Church Social Centre. Its skilled volunteers offer their expertise to fix everything from electrical appliances and clothing to bikes, toys and tools. The cafe has made over 1,000 repairs to date and runs in partnership with Eco Berko and North Church Social Centre, as well as being part of an international network of similar venues. Running on the first Saturday of the month from 9:30 to 12:30, it also offers customers drinks and refreshments while they wait for their items to be fixed, but are also encouraged to get involved and learn repair skills themselves. Richard Frankel, one of Berko Repair Cafe's founders, said, "We've seen a real demand for our services since we launched. Lots of local people are keen to do their bit to help tackle climate change and save money, getting their things repaired instead of seeing them go into landfill. We are really excited about the move to North Church Social Centre, as it means we have more space to extend our service, plus parking makes it easier for people to bring a wider range of items and larger items for repair. Customers are invited to give a donation towards their repair to help cover costs and support a range of local charities. If something cannot be fixed, the Repair Cafe team can advise on how to recycle or dispose of it properly. Jane Kendall, one of the repairers, said, "The Saturday mornings are a real joy, never knowing who or what is going to arrive as we open the doors. The buzz of people and children and the stories behind many of the items contribute to the endless satisfaction of rescuing and repairing things." Councillor Caroline Smith-Wright, Decorum Borough Council portfolio holder for climate and ecological emergency, said, "The Berkhamsted Repair Cafe is a brilliant example of community action tackling the climate and ecological emergency. I'm so thrilled to support it." Frankel added, "Whether you're handy with a spanner, have a background in electronics, an interest in woodwork, or you might be able to help serving cake or welcoming customers, don't hesitate to get in contact and find out how you can get involved. Visit www.ecoberco.uk/repair-cafe for more information."
Living with ME. The experiences of a Hemel Hempstead woman who has lived with ME for more than 20 years will go on display next week in a photography exhibition at London South Bank. Lives We Cannot Live by documentary filmmaker and photographer Jeremy Jeffs reflects the stark realities of daily life for Maureen Kinnear, 72, and other ME sufferers through a collection of more than 50 striking images. ME, also known as CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, is a multisystemic disease. Symptoms include profound fatigue, sleep disturbance, post-exertional malaise and cognitive difficulties, and often also pain, headaches, nausea and intolerance to light and noise. Kinnear, who lives with her husband and is retired, was diagnosed with ME in 2004 following a year of debilitating fatigue and other symptoms while working full-time. She said, "I was really struggling with chronic fatigue, had no energy and had muscle pains in my back and neck. I explained my symptoms to my GP, who was brilliant. She understood and, recognising the symptoms, diagnosed ME, CFS. I felt like my life had just stopped. I felt lost and alone. I'd always been a doer, and yet I was in a position where I couldn't cook dinner, get a drink, take a shower on my own, or do daily tasks that I once understood and undertook with ease. It was a horrible time. Over the years, her symptoms have created a significant barrier to daily activities and social interaction. Even talking on the phone can leave her exhausted. She has to ensure that she does not overexert herself, which can cause post-exertional malaise, a delayed and significant exasperation of ME, CFS symptoms. Today, her symptoms have eased from 20 years ago, and she has learnt the benefits of pacing, using mobility aids to support her with walking and standing. Meditation has also helped her enormously, as have her family and a local ME support group with whom she meets regularly. She said, "I felt extremely privileged to be part of the photographic exhibition. Getting involved in anything that helps people understand ME and the effects on my life is a good thing. I'd like people here who are in similar situations to know that there is help and support out there," she said. Photographer Jeffs, who also lives with ME, said, "The idea for the exhibition was sparked by my own experiences, and my aim was to capture a sense of what this isolating illness is like. Lives We Cannot Live is at Oxo Gallery, Oxo Tower, Wharf, from Wednesday the 24th to Sunday the 28th September. The event is open daily between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. with admission free.
Warner Brothers plan. Film production company Warner Brothers has submitted plans to extend the use of a temporary soundstage at its Leavesden studios. If the plan is approved, the company would be able to keep the facility in place for up to 10 years. The building has already been put up with planning permission not needed for stages used there for less than 2 years, but Warner Brothers now wants to keep it for much longer due to demand dramatically increasing. It puts this down to the rise of direct-to-consumer streaming services, including Warner Media's launch of HBO Max, which is behind the Harry Potter TV series currently being filmed at the wider site. Application documents posted this week stated, "This change has boosted the demand for more high-quality content and has in turn led to more productions choosing to film here in the UK as a result of attractive tax incentives, access to an established pool of talent, and the availability of dedicated production facilities." The building itself is described as minimal and simplistic in design, due to initially being intended as a short-term fix. It is around the same size as the main permanent sound stages at the studio and adjacent to westernmost existing buildings. According to Warner Brothers, there is a production space shortfall of around 775,000 square feet, around the size of Buckingham Palace, at the site based on the forecasts of future supply and demand. A much larger boost to availability is already being delivered through an overall plan to expand the studios westwards, though completion of that is still a long way off. The application added, WBSL and Plum Jam Productions require the temporary pop-up stage to enable filming commitments to continue whilst the construction of the additional sound stages under Master Plan 2022 are completed. As such, the need for this pop-up stage is crucial at this time. Plum Jam Productions mainly creates celebrity-fronted documentaries. Three Rivers District Council has set December the 15th as the determination deadline for the plan. Separately, Warner Brothers has also applied for planning permission to install new signs directing visitors to its different entrances and car park yesterday. A November the 10th deadline has been set for that application.
AI tool for carers. Social care chiefs in Hertfordshire are using artificial intelligence, AI, to identify individuals among the thousands of carers countrywide who may be on the brink of crisis. The AI tool, developed with a private tech company, and one of several measures being used by the County Council to prevent or reduce the need for long-term care, was highlighted at a meeting of the Council's Adult Care Services Cabinet Panel on Tuesday. It works by identifying risk factors from case notes, and the information it provides alerts officials that a phone call or additional support may be required for a particular individual. At the meeting, councillors heard of one instance when the tool enabled officials to identify a female carer who was exhausted and struggling with isolation. Officials contacted the woman, who was her husband's carer, offering support and signposting her activities outside the home. After joining a local art group, she reported feeling less isolated, more confident and better able to continue in her carer role. Directors of Planning and Resources, Jackie Albury, who is responsible for the Council's Connect and Prevent programme, said she hoped the help would enable the woman to continue caring for her husband and for him to stay at home for longer, an outcome that they both wanted. All the data assessed by the AI tool, councillors heard, is anonymised and decision-making is by county council officers rather than AI. AI is one element of the council's Connect and Prevent programme, which, running since 2023, aims to reduce the need for long-term care as well as delivering targeted savings of £25 million in its care purchasing budget.
Charity Firewalk. Ready to turn up the heat for a good cause? This autumn, Rennie Grove Peace Hospice Care is looking for fearless fundraisers who are willing to walk barefoot across burning embers at its firewalk event, all to raise vital funds for hospice care. The fundraiser is set to take place at Peace Hospice in Watford on Thursday, 13th of November from 6:30 p.m. The event is open to anybody over the age of 12, and all participants will be given expert tuition by qualified trainers. Erin Beer, IPU Services Lead at Rennie Grove Peace Hospice Care, took part in a previous firewalk at Peace Hospice. She says, "The actual walk itself gave me such an adrenaline rush. I found that I wasn't even thinking about what I was doing. I just thought about why I was doing it, and that got me across those coals." Firewalkers won't be facing the flames alone, as participants are invited to bring along their own cheer squad of friends and family to encourage them across the coals. With plenty to keep everyone entertained on the night, from food stalls and music to live fire-themed entertainment, it's set to be a night to remember. Early bird tickets are available at a cost of £20 per adult and £15 per child until the end of September, and then £25 per adult and £20 per child. Firewalkers are being challenged to raise £162 per person. This could pay for one of the charity's healthcare assistants for a day to provide hands-on support to patients by assisting with personal care, promoting emotional well-being, and helping with daily activities. To find out more or to sign up today, visit rennie-grovepeace.org/firewalk.
Hemel assault case image. Police officers this week released a new CCTV image in connection with an assault in Decorum that left a man with life-changing injuries. The incident occurred outside Leverstock Green Cricket Club on Bedmond Road at around 2:05 a.m. on Saturday, July the 26th. The victim of the attack was a man in his 40s who was found unresponsive when an East of England ambulance crew arrived. He suffered life-changing injuries as a result of the assault and was rushed to hospital, emergency services said. Hearts Police released the image because they believe the person pictured may have been in the area at the time and could have information to assist their investigation. Three 17-year-old males and an 18-year-old man were arrested on suspicion of wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm back in July. They are still on police bail while inquiries continue. Police have asked that anyone with information about the attack contact Sergeant Stephen Mooney via stephen.mooney@hearts.police.uk. Reports can also be made online or by calling 101 and quoting crime reference number 41/69755/25.
Wanted man. A Hemel Hempstead man who is wanted on prison recall remains missing months after an appeal to find him, police said this week. Officers are searching for Aaron Broom, a 32-year-old who was reported missing in June and also has links to the Watford area. A spokesperson for Hertfordshire Constabulary said, "Anyone who sees Broom or has information on his whereabouts is asked to report information online at hearts.police.uk/report. speak to an emergency operator in our force communication room via hearts.police.uk/contact or call the non-emergency number 101. For immediate sightings, call 999.
And now, what's on? Denby Theatre Tring, 27th of September, Sensation, ABBA tribute. Sensation are widely considered to be one of the best ABBA tribute acts who play to packed theatres throughout Europe. A stunning stage show which combines costume changes, lighting effects and a faithful reproduction of the ABBA sound. 7:30pm, tickets, £21. Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, 23rd of September. National Theatre Live presents Inter Alia, a filmed version of a new play by Susie Miller. Oscar-nominated Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl Saltburn, is Jessica Parker, a smart Crown Court judge at the top of her career. Behind the robe, she is a karaoke fiend, a loving wife, and a supportive parent. When an event threatens to throw her life completely off balance, can she hold her family upright? 2pm and 7:30pm, tickets £15. 24th and 25th of September, comedy. Dom Jolly presents Trigger Happy TV, work in progress. It's been 25 years since Trigger Happy TV burst onto our screens, transforming the hidden camera format with its surreal universe of characters and unforgettable pranks. Now, to celebrate a quarter century of chaos, Dom Jolly is bringing his most iconic characters and sketches to the Old Town Hall in this Trigger Happy TV Live 25th anniversary work in progress show. 8pm, tickets £20, age guidance 16+. 26th and 27th of September, comedy. Little Wanda presents Rhea Lena, Rhea Belin. Following her killer debut tour, Reawakening, top 10 best stand-up shows of 2024 from The Telegraph, the wickedly funny Rhea Lena realised she wasn't just awake, she was ready to rebel. Expect a relentless stream of hilarity as Rhea explores the state of the world, the eternal battle of the sexes, and the delight of throwing life up in the air after years of following the rules. 8pm, tickets £20, age guidance 16+.
Films at Hemel Hempstead Cineworld this week include Downton Abbey, the grand finale, comedy drama, Certificate PG, The Conjuring, Last Rites, horror, 15 certificate, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, comedy drama, 15, The Bad Guys 2, action, animation, PG, The Roses, comedy, 15, Superman, action, 12A, The Long Walk, drama, 15, Diplo, The Mighty Dinosaur, animation, U, Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, comedy documentary, 15, Freakier Friday, comedy, PG.
And films at the Rex Berkhamsted this week. Downton Abbey, the grand finale, comedy drama, certificate PG. The Roses, comedy, 15. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And now some sports news. Tudors advance in FA Cup. Lee Allinson was a happy man after seeing his Hemel Hempstead Town side progress to the third qualifying round of the FA Cup last weekend. The Tudors saw off step three side Bishop Stortford 4-1 and set up a tie at home to either Sporting Kalsa or Hereford in the next round. Those two sides set to play again on Tuesday night after their initial tie was abandoned on Saturday. The opening goal came 8 minutes in when Miller Matthews-Lewis forced a good stop from Stortford keeper Adam Hayton, but Jake Gray was on hand to net when the visitors didn't clear. George Williams made it 2-0 8 minutes before half-time with a stunning free kick before Matthews-Lewis got the third after the break. Gray's fine solo effort made it 4-0 before Salim Akinbi netted a late consolation. Allison said afterwards, "I think you've only got to look at last year. Hemel lost 1-0 at home to Bishop Stortford in a league game at Vauxhall Road, and there was a lot of fear around that. But this is a different group. This is a group that is hungry, want to do well and want to try and achieve something in the FA Cup this year. Mindsets are a big thing because there are some upsets in the FA Cup, so to come through and win the game convincingly, and it should have been more, was a really pleasing outcome. I thought at times we were sloppy and turned it into a scrap that we didn't need to, and we missed some unbelievable chances, but the pleasing thing is that we're creating them. The subs came on and did really well, and it's a good group considering we've got a few missing, so the signs are really good. At the end of the day, it was just about getting through to the next round. We could be so much more tidier, but we won the game and that's all that matters." Hemel played a friendly with Hertford Town on Tuesday night after this week's Gazette went to press and returned to action on Saturday in the league where they host Farnborough Town, who currently sit 18th in the Enterprise National League South standings.
Storm signing. Hemel Storm have announced the signing of exciting British talent Dijani Parkinson on a strategic loan from Surrey 89ers. The 6'3" guard has spent the last two campaigns competing in the top flight of British basketball and has re-signed for his third year at Surrey ahead of the 2025-26 season. However, in a move described as a crucial step in Dijani's development by Surrey head coach Lloyd Gardner, he will head to Hemel in a loan move, affording him invaluable experience and consistent minutes. Dijani is a product of the 89ers development pathway, making significant contributions for the SLB side and Cobham Cobras, while simultaneously studying at the University of Surrey and competing for the team Surrey Bucks side, which he will continue to do in his time with Storm. Storm have also announced the new club and men's front of vest sponsor is the constructor Boogler Group.
Storm's perfect pre-season. Hemel Storm returned to the newly named Bugler Storm Dome on Sunday evening, and it was the home side who were victorious, overcoming Team Solent Kestrels 86-79 in their final pre-season matchup before the BCB Trophy begins next weekend. There were many new faces for Jake Rothage, who had his first experience sitting in the main seat, having stepped up from assistant to head coach over the summer. And American Matt Norman was particularly impressive, racing out the blocks with a three-point blitz to endear himself to his new fan base. Kai Walker displayed the same hustle and hard work Storm had come to envy when in an opposition shirt, and Danny Evans added athleticism on both ends of the floor. It was a familiar face in Darien Nelson Henry that proved arguably the greatest pest to Solent, though, dominating under the basket and using all his years of up-flight experience to post 18 points. The 7-point win completes a perfect pre-season for Storm after last week's victory over Barnet Bulldogs, and attention will now turn to the BCB Trophy doubleheader next weekend, where they first host Bristol Hurricanes before travelling to Birmingham on Sunday. They started impressively, playing at a high tempo and forcing Matt Guyman into an early timeout. Norman was the chief troublemaker, wasting no time in showcasing his shooting ability, and the majority of his 19 points appeared to come in the first period, which Storm took by 10, 26-16. Solent are not part of the newly formed British Championship Basketball League, instead remaining in the Basketball England setup. But they proved they are more than capable of competing on the big stage here, remaining unperturbed by a slow start to slowly edge their way back into the contest. British guards Luke Busumbrew and Andre Arisol have plenty of Division I experience between them, both as part of Solent's dominant period between 2018 and 2022, and for other competitive sides such as Worthing Thunder and Essex Rebels. They, alongside former Storm man Greg Durand, spearheaded the comeback, and the trio combined for 51 of Solent's 79 points, with a further 13 from GB Youth International Ethan Round. The deficit was 9 at the half-time break, and they continued to chip away in the third period, cutting it to 5 ahead of the final 10 minutes, with the scoreline reading 61-56 to the home side. It was tense for Storm, and the close-fought contest can only serve as good preparation for the upcoming season, with Rothage and his troops properly tested. The American used his timeouts to good effect, and Captain Sam Newman stepped up, connecting with a couple of long-range efforts that acted as the dagger to end the visitors' hopes. The final buzzer sounded at 86-79, and Storm were left to reflect on a tough assignment, happy to have got the job done. Also, a reminder for those interested in sports news. On Saturday afternoon, Three Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8. Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and Talk Sport are on medium wave 1089.
Police desk plea. Hemel Hempstead MP David Taylor called in the House of Commons on the newly appointed Home Office Minister, Sarah Jones, to support his campaign to reopen the public-facing front desk at Hemel Hempstead Police Station. Taylor said time and time again, residents have called for the reinstatement of the Hemel Hempstead Police Station front desk, which vanished under the last government amid major Tory police cuts. Raising this with the minister is just one action I am taking, and I look forward to working cooperatively with all local stakeholders to make this happen. Taylor also pointed to his experience on the Crime and Policing Bill Committee, where he scrutinised national legislation to strengthen community safety. He welcomed the investment already being made by the Labour government to recruit additional police officers, and added, "I've been out with police on the beat. They work incredibly hard. Now we need to give them the resources they need to do their job and the public the means to report crime properly."
TV show in Bovingdon. ITV's The Masked Singer is coming to Bovingdon Studios and tickets are free. Joel Dommett and star panellists return for a brand new series of TV's Craziest Guessing Game. Expect tougher clues, phenomenal performances and jaw-dropping reveals as, once again, you and our superstar panel of detectives ask, who is behind the mask? The series is recording and tickets are available now at https://lostintv.com/tv-show?ID=1400. September the 23rd, 24th and 30th are listed, with more dates coming in October.
Ambulance service shock. The East of England Ambulance Service has ranked bottom in the new National Health Service league table for ambulance trusts. The service, which covers Hertfordshire as well as Bedfordshire, Essex, Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire, received a score of 3.02. Trusts are ranked within their league table using both a National Health Service Oversight Framework segment and an average metric score. The services are initially ranked into four segments, with the top one for the best performing and the bottom one for the worst inside each segment group. Trusts are then ranked by their average metric score, with the East of England service lowest ranked. Three ambulance services are in the top segment, with the North West Ambulance Service having the best score of 1.82. Chief Executive of the East of England Ambulance Service, NHS Trust, Neil Maloney, said, "This assessment reflects the ongoing challenges we face, particularly around Category 2 response times and tackling long-standing cultural issues within the Trust," Maloney said. "But it also demonstrates our huge desire and ambition to improve. We're absolutely committed to serving our patients. Over the past year, we've made real progress, diving down response times across the region and improving patient care."
Beating Childhood Cancer. This September, Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, people across Hertfordshire are being called on to help more children and young people survive cancer. With around 380 new cancer cases in children and young people in the East of England region every year, the public are being urged to support the life-saving work of Cancer Research UK for children and young people. They can help raise vital funds by donating or picking up a gold ribbon badge, the symbol of childhood cancer awareness, available from the charity's shops. Cancer is different in children and young people, from the types of cancer that affect this age group to the long-term effects of treatments such as hearing loss and infertility. So it needs a different and dedicated approach that Cancer Research UK is helping to drive forward. The charity's advances and breakthroughs have helped to more than double children's cancer survival in the UK since the 1970s, and today around 8 in 10 will survive for at least 10 years. But despite huge progress, cancer remains the leading cause of death by disease in children and young people over the age of one. And children's survivals for some types of cancer hasn't improved much since the 1970s. That's why many centres across the UK are taking part in groundbreaking trials coordinated by Cancer Research UK's dedicated clinical trials unit for children's cancers. Across the UK, around 18,000 children and young people have taken part in the trials since 2002. The charity's spokesperson for Hertfordshire, Patrick Keeley, said, "Thanks to the generosity of our supporters, we are beating cancer step by step, day by day. More than 9 in 10 children and young people who are prescribed cancer drugs in the UK receive at least one drug that Cancer Research UK has helped to develop. and our scientists are unlocking discoveries about these cancers and translating them into new and better ways to diagnose and treat them. But too many young lives are still lost to this devastating disease, so we hope people across Hertfordshire will show their support this month. Pick up a gold ribbon badge in Cancer Research UK shops or donate online at cruk.org/children-and-young-people.
Charity Sleep Out. Hertfordshire-based homelessness charity Dens has announced the return of its popular sponsored sleep out on Friday, November the 21st. Taking place at the new venue of Hammond Academy in Hemel Hempstead, the fundraising event promises an inspiring night under the stars. Open to adults and children aged 8 and over, the evening will include activities for all ages, a Q&A session about the charity's work, and live music performances. When it's time to bed down, participants can experience just a small glimpse of the challenges faced by rough sleepers during the harsh winter months. At dawn, they can wake up knowing the sponsorship they have raised will make a life-changing impact for local people facing homelessness each night. The event is sponsored by Safran Electrical and Power UK, an aerospace company based in Pittston. Last year's Sleep Out saw a record-breaking attendance, raising £33,000. Charlotte McCarthy, community fundraiser at Den, said, "We're determined to make this our biggest sponsored Sleep Out ever. It's a truly eye-opening experience and an inspiring way to come together as a community. By raising sponsorship on the night, every participant helps make an even greater difference to local people in need. Free places for the Den sponsorship, Sleep Out, are available now at www.dens.org.uk/sleepout25.
And finally, Doggy Splash. Hemel Hempstead much-loved Doggy Splash sessions return to the Town Leisure Centre over the coming week, giving local dogs, including nervous ones, the chance to dive into the outdoor pool before it closes for the season. The main sessions will run over this weekend, followed by a series of specialised weekday slots for smaller groups. Small dogs on Monday the 22nd of September at 4:30, large dogs on the 23rd at 4:30, and nervous dogs on the 24th at 4:30 and 5:30. The latter sessions will run at reduced capacity to help create a calmer environment. The 90-minute sessions cost £15 for one dog and one owner, with additional humans welcome for £9 each. Spaces are limited and must be booked in advance by calling reception on 507 100. The event is being hosted by Everyone Active, which runs the Leisure Centre in partnership with Decorum Borough Council.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 6:44 and 19:02. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to the website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper, Skill," followed by "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove the Memory Stick from the player, return it to us in the pouch provided, and check the pouch is securely sealed. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Jake, who who was our technician this week.